What a extraordinarily unusual group of people. I mean, really, I just have never felt so welcome and encouraged, and that you've been doing this, your readings and your gatherings and your study for 30 years? Golly. So I'm just delighted. Thank you so much for the invitation to be here, and it worked out rather miraculously because it almost slipped away and then came back. So I've been reading J. Philip Newell's book, and particularly the third chapter, and it's a very wide-ranging book and very, very dear. So we might, I'll kind of speak in a way that I hope brings a different and, but also related resonance to that third chapter on remembering. And it's more, one way to think about it is think of it as remembering the future. So let's see where we go. So I'd like to begin perhaps with just a brief kind of a picturing of the from a contemplative point of view of our present human condition and situation, and to that brings clear the need for a new harmony that is happening, but won't happen unless we're able to be present in a certain manner. So we're at the end of a about a 5,200 year period of objectivizing ourselves and the world and the universe and everything. And I'm using this time period of some 5,250 years is based on the on this event that you may, I'm sure you were aware of, the event of 12/21/2012, the so-called end of the Mayan calendar. And that the Mayan calendar is divided into cycles of approximately 5,200 and some years. And four of those cycles then make a larger cycle. It's of interest that this end of the Mayan calendar simply means that it's the end of what is called the fourth sun, and it's the beginning of the fifth sun, S-U-N. And the fourth sun, that whole period of four cycles of 5,000 and some years, that has been about the motion. It's been about the realm of motion. Thought very worth, meaning during all of that time was the time when human beings found ways to meet other human beings, and through all sorts of means, through commerce, through building, through technology, through everything that we now take for granted, is a whole time of motion. What has also been involved in that the coming together of differences and different peoples and as now we call the global world, it also though brings with it a kind of objectifying. A narrowing, a certain kind of narrowing that you can think of as a kind of a narrowing of the vibratory frequency of both the world and the earth and primarily the human being. Meaning that you know, if our frequency of vibratory consciousness is very broad, were able to be present and perceive in many, many things that for us are not even visible. If that frequency begins to narrow, then it means that, well, we're able to only experience, you know, what is in between these boundaries. So the world that we take as this is the real world is not really the real world at all. It's the world as perceived through a very focused kind of consciousness. And it's a kind of consciousness that makes movement and control and certain kinds of development possible. But it means if you're confined to this range, then reality has that range. And much is brought about by that. The whole world that we now have is a result of that kind of narrowing. But it's also then the forming of a kind of a digital mind. Digital mind meaning that this mode of mental consciousness is one in which everything works by a kind of division, a polarizing of right and left and good and bad and good and evil, and so everything has that character in mentalness. Has the character of a kind of a digital consciousness. That's why at its culmination we can have the computer that is based upon that same kind of model of consciousness. And it can do it a lot faster than we can do it. But along with that also comes an inherent structure of consciousness that is the structure of fear. Because this mode of consciousness of this is right, this is wrong, I'm here, you're there, I'm subjective, there's an objective world, that kind of polarizing is a separating. So I'm here, you're there, I have a subjective, you have your opinion. it means we live in a realm of separation. And separation is the very structure of fear. Fear inherent in separating is the quality of fearfulness. We'll give you a brief example in the way this evolves. In the realm, for example, of money. In the Western world, money begins, in the Western world, it's very amazing. Money is actually initially a sacred ritual to the earth goddess. That a community would gather periodically and they would have a ritual sacrifice of a bull. Something that their life and this whole sense of the bull and the earth and the closeness of the animal and the earth, they would sacrifice ritually a bull, and by putting it on a fire, the stick on which the bull was turned was called the obelos, obelos. Which translates as the word coin. So at the ritual, then the bull was, you know, the portions were carved up and everybody of the community was given an equal portion. But it wasn't just the food at all. By equal portion is meant that this animal that is the essence of earth for them, the energy of that animal and the return of it to the goddess, in return then there was the exchange of the people were filled with enthusiasm, with the goddessness, with the life and the energy of the earth. Now, then it evolved in that if you couldn't happen to be at the ritual that day, if you weren't able to attend, but you belonged to that community, you received then a metal coin. But the metal coin inherently had all of the strength and the energy and the force of being at the ritual itself. So then very quickly, you know, people began to exchange these coins and exchange them for things. But they were always then kept close to the sense of this is the circulation of the earth goddess within the world. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Just amazing. Then you know how that evolves. Later on, for example, instead of the ritual, money that now becomes an exchange, but is still very, very always close to the sense of the holiness of the earth. But then it becomes the standard of value becomes wheat. It shifts but wheat is still in the realm of the earth goddess. And it shifted to wheat because you could store it for a long time, and also because the grains of wheat are equally uniform. And so for a long time that was the equivalent of a ritual but then you'd have coins in relation to. We still have the little vestige of that on a penny. There you'll see the sheaves of wheat. But then a really, really tricky thing happens. After that there's a shifting from the store of value being, from the animal to the wheat. It shifts to gold. But the shift to gold is the shifting to the solar element. Meaning there's a change in culture from the feminine to the masculine. But it was done in a tricky fashion. Meaning that even still today, gold is, you meant the measure of gold is in troy, what are called troy ounces. A troy ounce actually comes from the way that wheat used to be measured. So they took the measure and kind of introduced gold, not realizing that was the shift actually of the whole of the world now to being solar inspired, masculine. Okay, so then as money evolves, the what you can see what's happening is that money becomes more and more and more abstract. It's not tied anymore to this living sense of the holiness of earth. It begins to do business on its own. And to the point now where now when the gold standard is gone, it's not backed by gold anymore, it's not backed by wheat, it's not backed by something of the earth, it's backed by it's actually a wonderful spiritual, it's backed by a promise, right? It's backed by the promise of the government. That's actually a very, very high spiritual backing that, unfortunately, we're not up to. the idea of it is very, very wonderful. But instead, money now is not even about the world anymore. The money is about money. Money is totally about money. It's not about economy. Not even though we use the word economy, economy means care of the household of the earth. So it's not about that. It's about, and you know, money is circulating now in this internet world in ways that we have no. It's really, really abstract. Consequently, though, it means that our exchange among each other, that is. The way that we were always, always in relation and embodied with the earth, we're separated from that, and we live then in a world of fear. A world of fear that is then constantly trying to be covered over by entertainment or you know, other ways that that happens. But so I only give that picture as a way in which we are at the moment of an end of a mode of consciousness, because now, at least in this view of the Aztec calendar, we're moving to we're just on the outer aura of the fifth sun, and that was signified by this event on the 21st of December 2012, in which astronomically what occurred and still is occurring is a strong almost perfect straight alignment of the Earth, the Sun, and what is called the Great Central Sun, which is the center of the Milky Way. The center of our galaxy is called the Great Central Sun. So this now is in a perfect alignment, but you have to can feel how powerful that is, because the Sun's power is so strong that it is the Sun that's keeping all of the planets in their right order. That's the strength of the Sun. So now, just imagine this power that is this alignment of the center of the galaxy, the Sun, and the Earth. Now, what is the center of the galaxy? The Egyptians called spoke of the center of our galaxy as Isis. and then later as the imagination of Isis evolves, Isis becomes Sophia, wisdom. So we're entering an absolutely, possibly, potentially extraordinary time in which everything now is shifting to a new mode of consciousness altogether, that is the mode of wisdom. Now, as that is occurring, the old digital consciousness is not going to leave, easily. And what always happens is that other consciousness was fine. It was enormously needed. When something that is at a given time good, but it goes on existing beyond its right timing, then it becomes destructive. That's just kind of a spiritual law. Something that is good in a right time, if it continues in a time when it's no longer what's to be happening, then it becomes destructive. So we have a pretty good feeling that this digital mind, mental consciousness that built everything that we live is now beyond its time. I was thinking particularly upon coming to this beautiful, beautiful Santa Barbara, but that the purpose, the spiritual purpose of that previous time that of mentalness, is just rather extraordinary, because everything we have and are is of the earth, isn't it? Everything, and it's really like the divine world saying, "I love you so much. Here is everything." And now if we could feel that instead of, "I want everything," if we could feel how incredibly honored we are by the divine presence that would bring all of this and say, this is for you. Now, can we shift in a way and say, thank you, and what does that entail culturally? Yeah. So we are, though, in this time still of separation and breakdown and violence and destruction and so let me. I think that we're entering the age of the apocalyptic imagination. But apocalypse, as you know, the word, it means revelation. But what is being revealed, starting now, is a new heaven and a new earth. Let's see how that might begin to unfold. This shift, the shifting from the end of the fourth sun, the beginning of the fifth sun. Do you know what the Mayan calendar looks like? This great big huge round stone. It's in the museum in Mexico City. It's a great big huge round stone with all kinds of glyphs but in the very very center of it there is a really funny looking being of looks like the face of a human being, but he's right in the center, and you only see his face, and he's sticking out his tongue. You know that? Take a look at it when you get home. At the tip of his tongue, there's a glyph, and the glyph is a flower. And this place of the... That's the end of the fourth and the beginning of the fifth sun. The fourth sun, we said, was about motion. The fifth sun, this is a flower, it's a flowering that is happening. And it is now, for the next four cycles of 5,200 years, which alternate between being feminine and masculine, this first one is feminine. Yay. So we've got 5,000 years. Let's see what you do now. So previous was about motion, where everybody lives separately, but through all those 5,000 years, we come to be a global community. Very amazing. This next one is about spiritual relating. It's the time of relating. But what we have to try to do is imagine that it doesn't mean, when we think of relating, there's you, there's me, and we form a relationship. That's fourth sun imagining of relating, right? Because it says you start separately and then you... But that's not what this is. This fifth sun as the time of spiritual relating means all there is relating. Did you see? There's not the two that come. There is only the relating. the way you can think about it spiritually is that like in meditation or in contemplation. So, when you enter into the contemplative realm, there's a lot going on, but it's not in the form of contents, right? It's not in the form of there's this and there's that, except after it happens, then the mind constructs it as, oh, I saw in contemplation a man and he, whatever it is. But in the act itself, it's pure flow and relating. It's like another, maybe a simpler way is that, when you listen to music, when you listen to music and your soul go to the symphony and suddenly you become the music. But in the music, you cannot tell if you're engaged within the music. You cannot tell who is who. You cannot tell. There's the music, and I'm here listening. There is only the music. That's what we're going to be having to learn. And there's a lot of a preparation that has already happened for many centuries, and it's what modern physics is all about. That's what the way they already talk. They don't really talk anymore about quantitied things. So, our question then is how to go about entering this time of the new harmony of everything being relating. One of the preparations that we've been given that gives us some very helpful clues is again what some of the things that occur in relation to the Aztec world. Now, at this moment, I'm thinking of though something quite different than the Aztec calendar, which is the appearance in 1531 of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Because I've been exploring this now for several years, and it's very interesting. More than interesting, it's that in, I hope I don't offend anybody, but in modern religion, in Christian religion, there's a tendency toward what I call gooey religion. Gooey. And a little bit, this has been the way that, we went with a group of people in November to Assisi and did a lot of contemplative work in relation to St. Francis and Clare. But a lot of gooiness trailed St. Francis all over the place. I mean, when you see what he, it's unbelievable who he was and is. And at any rate, in relation to Our Lady of Guadalupe, there's a little bit of that gooiness. It takes some exploring, for example, to find that the place Tepeyac, Mexico, right outside of Mexico City, where Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to Juan Diego. By the way, that's not their names even. They're not neither of their names. That the site where she appears is a central earth goddess site of the Aztec people. And if you read the Codex, which is the kind of the account of the appearance, it's actually by a priest and it's quite gooey. A few places he lets things slip. Like there's the scene when Juan Diego first is walking up the hill, and it says the earth began to glow. So we begin to get a feeling, wait a minute, this is not just like the appearance from the cosmos, but rather it is the emergence again of the spiritual earth. Do you see why? Isn't it so odd that we don't think that all our spirituality is cosmic? Do you know what I mean? It's like this is just the stage upon which we find gradually, most spirituality is escapist spirituality, right? Meaning like, what can I do to get the hell out of here? It's and in, going, being enlightenment or however. But the sense of this is heaven. This. That's something, now that's the new harmony will be this coming into the happening of the action of the heaven-earth unity. Well, when Juan Diego is walking and he's going to church, and he suddenly he begins to hear beautiful, it's December, and he hears beautiful birds. And then the appearance of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And he inwardly hears a series of seven questions. The seven questions tell us the way to develop into the fifth son. By the way, this side of the goddess, it's the goddess of the earth who is Coatlicue in the Aztec world. Coatlicue. And if you see her, there's a stone carving in the museum in Mexico City. And she is fierce. She is fierce. She's the snake woman. There's in the mythology, I can't go into it because it's too long, but where her head should be, there are two fierce snakes. It's just an imagination of, she is this. It's so anti-gooey. fierce. And her son is Huitzilopochtli. Very, very, very important. Because there's a... Coatlicue is immaculately conceived. I mean, there's a... She was... In that mythology, you can't ever tell whether they're talking about human beings or mythical figures. Anyway, she's sweeping the floor one day, and a feather comes and lands on her, and she's pregnant. And she's pregnant with Huitzilopochtli, who the word means a hummingbird on the left side. But it's an image. It means this Huitzilopochtli is the new human consciousness that I'll go into in a second. Are we okay? Am I going too fast? All right. Then I have to. There's that to begin to see that Lady Guadalupe, who is really the elevation of Coatlicue and Huitzilopochtli. who is going to be born, means we are to give birth out of our soul being to the new spiritual awareness. I'll say what that is in a moment again. Now there's another, they're not the same at all, but they're very related, which is what occurs in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. In the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation is that moment, remember, where there's the appearance of the woman who is clothed in the sun and has the crown of the 12 stars. She's pursued by the dragon. She's pregnant. And she's taken away to give birth to her son. It's typically taken as, this is Mary and Jesus. It is not. It is not. There's a lot to it, but that's what, I shouldn't just say it's not and then say why not. it is the picturing of the soul about to give birth to its our new spirit being. That's Sophia of the future. That is the future of humanity, is when everything is at the edge of destruction, is the moment, but we have to really be alert to it, it's the moment that we can give birth to a consciousness that can be this continual relating new harmony that is the unity of heaven and earth. So, what an amazing time to be here. And that's what Juan Diego says. You know, when he sees in the middle of December and he hears, see, it's all about vibration. There's a sound in the beginning. Remember J. Philip Newell that does that beautiful thing of the beginning was the word, well, the beginning was the sound. Beautiful, beautiful, because you get this is a vibratory phenomenon. So Juan Diego says, am I so fortunate to be here to hear this? That's a clue. That's like it says, this is our time. Are we so fortunate to be here at this moment of this happening? Then he hears a series of other questions that seem to be, I can't say they come from. Well, it's this relating. It's not like, you know, you can't say it's Guadalupe asking. They're just questions that are happening. The first question is, am I dreaming? Am I dreaming? But that's a clue that says, it doesn't say, you know, this isn't going on. It says, the first step into this new consciousness is to develop the capacity of a mode of consciousness that is like dreaming. It is meaning that in a dream, everything happens simultaneously. When we wake up, then we tell the dream as if it occurred sequentially. But that's not the way dreaming happens. It's more like, well, when this is happening in this part of the dream, then that's happening, and when that's happening, that's happening. It's a simultaneity. So our first development into this new consciousness is having a sense of the simultaneity. Not only within our consciousness, but in relation with the world. It's called synchronicity. Synchronicity. But up till now, synchronicity has been kind of a word, but it means that, like, if I contemplate really deeply one night, I'll wake up in the morning and something in the world will reveal itself as what was happening in that contemplation. That's called synchronicity. See, it doesn't follow the laws of logic or time. Yeah. Then he hears the word, am I imagining? Here's the question, am I imagining? And that means that the primary mode of being within this action of the earth-heaven unity is the action of creative imagining. Yeah, so get used to it. Meaning, get used to the fact that we are co-creators. And absolutely dispel any sense of doubt. It's doubt that will come and interfere and make it not possible for you to see what your part is in the creating. Right? Isn't that? If you see, something appearing in the world, a beautiful... did you see that hawk? Right at that moment that we were talking about that? In fact, I speak every week with a person in South Africa. And as we're speaking, she'll say, oh, look, the sun is suddenly glowing from the mountain. If she doubts that for a second, she'll say, yeah, but I'm only just imagining it in that lower sense of imagining. Then you're back in mental consciousness. Do you get it? That imagining means now we are involved and engaged in the very furthering of the creating of Earth. Earth isn't done. we are together now. See, and everyone. That's the J. Philip Newell too has a view. This beautiful sense of everybody's important. Absolutely, everything that you do, every individual, is utterly important as an act of the further creating of the earth and the earth heaven unity. That's where we are. Am I imagining? But you have to be able to imagine it. You can think about it, but you can't do it except through imagination, creative imagination. If we have time, we'll go into this a little more. Then he hears, am I awake? Means that you have to do all this very, very much with awareness. It isn't something that will just happen while we sleep through it. We have to be able to be in a waking dream, a waking creative imagining. And then the fourth that he hears, it says, I must awaken. It's just like emphasizing that this new coming into being of the earth, heaven, unity requires you have to do it awake. And then he said, then he hears, is this the land of flowering? Is this the, for that, for him it meant, this is the moment of the beginning of the sixth sun, the time of the flowering. And then he says, is this the place where heaven comes to earth? Pretty amazing. So Our Lady of Guadalupe is a very earth, it's like the earth version of the Sophia of the Apocalypse. Meaning they're very much together, but they're not the same by any means. But we learn much more about what we're to do, I think, in relation. Isn't it so that when you see the Lady of Guadalupe, she's clothed in the rays of the sun, she's standing on the moon. And while she doesn't wear a crown, it's amazing. Her cloak and the stars on her cloak are exactly the stars at the constellations at the moment of her appearance in 1531. So, and here there's, I forget what it is, but it's a crown. That's a constellation. Yeah. Ooh. Well, good. Was there a what? Yes, am I so fortunate to hear this wonderful sound? Am I dreaming? Am I imagining? Am I awake? I must awaken. Yeah. Is this the land of flowering? Is this the place where heaven comes to earth? Yeah. That's like, you know, there we have it. We have the manual. We have it. We have the manual. It's like, you know, it's like the new heaven and the new earth for dummies. You know? Yeah. So is the book of Revelation, by the way. It is a very, very extraordinary. See, but when it's a spherical book. Just an aside, meaning that the 12th chapter is that moment of the appearance of the Sophia of the Apocalypse. Everything before that, the first appearance of the throne that is like water, that is like jasper, the throning that is the God, everything, and then there is the seven messages to the churches. Starts out. Doo-doo-doo. Those are, if you read those closely, those are all the conditions necessary for each human being in order to enter into this new time. Like, I don't remember what they are. They're like the first one, the Church of... I don't know what they are. The first one, though, if you read it, you know how those messages go? I think you've done fine, but you really fell down on these things. It kind of goes like that. The first one, it says, you must not forget primal love. That's a condition for it. Do you see? It's saying, if you're going to engage and develop in this way, it has to all be based in not just love, but primal love, meaning that your whole being is an act of love. That's the way we are. If you go through those seven, you'll find what the human conditions are that are necessary for what I've been speaking of. Then that's followed by the seven seals. And the seven seals are the changes that will come about if you fulfill these conditions, changes in the human being. Then there's the apocalypse, the Sophia of the apocalypse. Then everything after that is the appearance of the new earth. But you have to be able to read, you know, it's really strange. But did you see where we're going? This might be a good time to take a little pause. And then we can come back and do one of two things or both. One is to begin to introduce some really simple kinds of practices, exercises that you maybe want to work with a little bit, and as well as maybe work with some questions. And okay?